your Bible today, we want to make sure that you get one as well. So are the ushers, we need to grab some Bibles. Grab some Bibles there in the back. Jacob, let's turn this light on too. Let's do this light. Let's do this light too. We'll light everybody up. There we go. Cool. Okay. All right, so if you need a Bible this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and we'll make sure we get a Bible too. The ushers are coming down the aisles. Again, if you need a Bible, this is yours. This is our gift to you. Please take it home. If you just forgot a Bible today and need one for the service, you can just drop it back off over on the bookshelf as you leave this morning, and somebody else can use it next week. We're going to be in James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, we're continuing a study that we started a few weeks ago called Life According to Jim. So we're doing a verse-by-verse study of the book of James, and if it's your first time with us and you're behind a couple of weeks, you can go on our website and get caught up. The website's not completely up to date because I've been a little busy with some other things, but this week that's on the top of the list. So if you need to go back and catch up with some stuff, you'll find that there. This morning we're going to be taking a look at the subject of temptation. If you have a pulse, you struggle with temptation. Every single person on the planet struggles with temptation. The draw, the enticement to do something that we know is in violation of God's standard. It was about 10, 15 years ago, there was a provocative program debuted on Fox TV. It was called Temptation Island. Does anybody remember that old show? And it was this really crazy show where they would put these people on an island, and they would put them in, married couples, and they'd put them in situations where they might be tempted to cheat on their spouse. And then they filmed it for reality TV, and what a train wreck. I mean, I never watched it, but I'm thinking, what a train wreck that would be to intentionally put people in situations for temptation and then film it all and put it on TV. Well, the fact is, the reality is, we all live on a temptation island. It's called Planet Earth. Temptation Island is what we're all living in because we're all tempted and drawn away to do things that we know are in violation of God's standards for us. So no matter what it might be in your life, if it's something big, if it's something small, if it's something that kind of is a persistent temptation, or those things that just kind of come out of the blue, we all struggle with temptation. So to kind of bring it down to us, I brought a little video this morning called The Marshmallow Test, one of my favorite videos on the subject of temptation, because it's basically a social experiment to see if kids will wait to eat the marshmallow, and then they can get two, or if they're going to eat it right away. So go ahead and hit the lights, and let's check out the marshmallow test and see if you can identify with these kids.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
All right. Okay. So what is your marshmallow? You know? What is your marshmallow? What is that thing that... It just tempts you. Well, the Bible says some really cool things about both the realities of temptation and how we can best battle it and get victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to read about that this morning. James chapter number 1, verses 13 through 18. It's page 869 in that Adventure Bible we just handed out. So James chapter 1, starting in verse 13, we'll read down through verse 18. The Bible says this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So in James chapter number 1, we have some really specific instruction here on the subject of temptation. And in your outline, in your bulletin, there's an outline if you want to follow along with us today as we go through this morning. While temptations are a natural part of our human experience, victory over them is possible through Christ. We all struggle with temptations, but we can have victory over them through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Number one, the reality of temptation. Okay, and I think we would all understand this and we'd all agree with this, the fact that temptation is a reality for every single person. Again, if you're living on this planet, you're on Temptation Island. If you're living on this planet and have a pulse, you struggle with temptation from time to time. So the Bible talks first about its origin. Okay, its origin. It's not from God. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. We can't blame God for those things. We can't say, God, why are you bringing this into my life? Why are you bringing that situation into my life? Why are you bringing that person into my life that's causing me to do evil, that's enticing me to do evil? It doesn't come from the Lord. Testing, as we talked about a few weeks ago, testing does come from God. Trials often do come from God. That are there to strengthen our faith, to make us stronger and bolder and more whole and complete and mature on this adventure of life that we're in. But the temptations, that is a solicitation toward evil, and God does not have anything to do with that. Now, we're not going to turn back to Genesis chapter number 3, but jot those verses down. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 24, and you can go back and you can see the very first temptation brought about onto mankind by the devil himself in the Garden of Eden. God had created this perfect place. He'd created this perfect environment. There was no sin. There was nothing, but there was one tree that he said, you cannot eat of that tree. You can eat of everything else that's in this garden, but this one place you cannot do it, and you're going to be fine. The devil comes along, and he begins to whisper. He begins to do his thing. He begins to tempt Adam and Eve with how wonderful this would be, how wonderful this fruit of the tree would be. What does he do? He creates doubt. He creates doubt because God said, don't do it, and if you do it, you're going to die. And Satan comes along and he says, did God really say this? And that's always how he begins to work, is through doubt. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever heard that little voice like, okay, did God really say this? Is this really true? Is this really accurate? Like, I don't get this. That's one of the means that Satan uses oftentimes to get us in that place. And then he right out deceives. He's a liar. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He will lie to you. He will say whatever he needs to say to bring you down rather than lift you up. He says point blank to Adam and Eve, you're not going to die. That's not going to happen. God said, if you do this, this will happen. Satan's like, No, that's not going to happen. And the deception begins. And then Adam and Eve, once they took of the fruit that they shouldn't have taken, they begin to play the blame game, right? Oh, it's, it's the woman. The man says, it's the woman you gave me. You know, guys, we never do that, right? You know, it's the woman. It's her fault. If she were just a better wife, if she were a better mother, if she were da-da-da-da-da, then things would be so much better. If my husband, da-da-da-da-da. We make these excuses. We blame. We point fingers. And all this conflict results because we've given in to the temptation of the devil. We've fallen into his scheme. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But notice its pattern, okay? Its origin doesn't come from God. It comes from the world, the flesh, the devil, okay? Those enemies that we have in our life. Its pattern. Look at these two verses. One here in the ESV, and then I've got the King James Version. That's what I grew up on, and so you'll see it's pretty similar. But for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, is from the world. The King James Version says the word lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We see this pattern over and over and over again throughout Scripture. You go back to Genesis chapter 3 and that first temptation of Satan with Adam and Eve in the garden. You've got the lust of the flesh. They looked at that fruit and like, that looks really good. That's good for food. Wouldn't that be tasty? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Boy, I bet that would be enjoyable. The lust of the eyes, pleasing to the eye. So good for food, it would make me feel better. Pleasing to the eye, lust of the eye, it looks really good. And then the pride of life, desire to make one wise. Like this is going to make me better. Like, this is going to be wonderful. And boasting ourselves up, lifting ourselves up. So if we have to get, so we need to get a handle on this truth. We need to get a handle on the schemes and the devices of the enemy, of the evil one, of Satan, because he's going to tempt us in this way. He's going to tempt us. He's going to draw us away with the lust of the flesh. He's going to draw us away with the lust of the eyes. He's going to draw us away with the pride of life. And we've got to be on guard. We've got to be ready to resist the temptations that come our way. Notice, secondly, there's an interesting pattern here you see in James chapter number 1, and I'm calling this the regression of temptation, because it's not just like he tempts and it's done. There's a process here. There's a downward spiral that takes place here as it relates to temptation. If we don't win the battle against temptation, it's going to take us down a road filled with suffering. Being tempted is not the same as sin. Okay, if you're tempted, that's not sinning. Okay, or another way of talking about sin is just accepting less than God's best for our life. But giving in to that temptation, that does absolutely lead to sin. I love this quote. Maybe you've heard it before. Check it out. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. There's a lot of truth there. It will take you further than you want to. Like, I'm just gonna dabble into this. You ever do that? I'm just gonna dabble into this. It, you know, it's not gonna bother me. It's not gonna affect me. I have it under control. It always takes you further than you want to go. I'll just do it for a little bit, you know, just this weekend. I'm just going to go crazy this weekend, and then Monday morning, I'm going to be back, and I'm going to be back on track. It oftentimes keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. How many children have suffered because of the poor choices of moms and dads? How many marriages have suffered because of the poor communication between mom and dad and the fights and the discord and the tension that's in the home because we give in to the temptations that we face? Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. There's a process here, regression of thought and attitude and action, desire, sin, death. Take a look at it there. It says, then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So there's lust, there's this desire for something, and then there's the acting upon it, which is the sin, and then there's the consequence of that, which is death. And we're not just talking about, you know, physical death, but it can be the death of relationship. It can manifest itself in a number of ways. When I was growing up, one of the ways that preachers used to describe this to us was, this is the LSD of the Bible. You know, lust, sin, death. It'll kill you. Stay away from the LSD because you're going to have trouble, all right? So this process here, this regression, desire, sin, death, longing for something, and then there's the action, and then there's the consequence. Okay, how many have ever seen this before? All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. How many have seen that before? Okay, it's like, why bother? You know, why go on? So, you know, you're getting ready to start school. Like, I'm good, Mom. I'm good, Dad. Everything I need to know, I learned in kindergarten. Well, here's one of the things that I've grown up with right here. Hit the next one. It's coming. One, two. There it goes. All I need to know about life, I learned from Star Wars. Okay? That's my deal. So I learned everything. So we don't need to hit the lights for this one. It's really short. So check this out. 9 seconds.
Here is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
See? Yoda got it. See, there's this like regression. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Lust, longing leads to the sin. The action leads into death or the consequence. There's this regression that takes place. Be careful. Don't play around with temptation. Don't play around with sin. Don't play around with accepting less than God's best for your life, because it's going to take you farther than you want to go. Okay? The Bible here talks about being enticed, okay, or lured, dragged away, literally is what it's talking about here. Okay? And so we've got a four step, like the downward spiral. So check out these words, okay? Sin kills, absolutely. So you've got desire. Got the desire. You see it. You long for it. The longing to do something. The longing to have something. So, I mean, I'm not purposely being generic here, but, you know, what is your marshmallow? Okay? Big or small. Maybe it's drug addiction. Maybe it's alcohol abuse. Maybe it's illicit sexual behavior. Those are like the big ones that we oftentimes think about, but there's other ways in which we are tempted, okay? And we think about it. We long for it. We want to have that person. We want to have that rush. We want to have that high. We want to have that feeling. We have that desire. It very rarely stays in that place. It moves on to deception. Deception is the rationalization process. Well, let's see. I really deserve it. I deserve to, you know, blow off some steam. I deserve to do this. I deserve to do that. And we begin to rationalize it in our minds. And then we go to the design phase, where it's the process of putting the fulfillment in motion. We start formulating a plan on how we're going to put this into action. And then it finally leads us to the act of disobedience itself, where we actually then commit the sin, which then births the consequence of that sin. I was reminded today, it's August 2nd, which is a really cool day. I'm thankful that this is happening today, because August 2nd has always been a difficult day for me, because today is the anniversary of my father's death. My dad was killed by a drunk driver 18 years ago today. My son turns 20 tomorrow. What? What is that about? Okay, so my son turns 20 tomorrow. And on his second birthday, some of you have heard the story, on his second birthday, we're having a party at our house. It was the next day, it was Sunday, and we got a phone call, and the only two people that were not at my son's second birthday party were my dad, who was traveling to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to visit my grandmother, who lived in Albuquerque. So those are the only two people, not immediate family members, at our house that day, my dad and my grandmother. So we're having the party, we're having a great time, my son is two. Now he's a Marine. I mean, that just flew by super, super fast. And the phone rings. And I turned to Tracy and I said, oh, it's either Mom or it's either Dad or it's Grandma. They're the only two people that aren't here. They're calling to wish Joshua a happy birthday. And sure enough, it was Grandma on the phone. And Tracy says, you need to come talk to your Grandma. And Grandma told me that day that my father had been killed by a drunk driver in Oklahoma on his way down to visit her in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So that was today, 18 years ago. So I'm grateful to have another cool August 2nd story to be able to share someday. You know, the guy that killed my dad didn't wake up that morning and say, you know, I'm going to kill somebody today. There was a progression, wasn't there? There was a deadly progression. There was desire, there was deception, there was design, there was disobedience, and at the end of that day, my father and my stepmother's, his wife's mom, were killed in an automobile accident. Now, that's obviously a really extreme example of how this process works. But make no mistake, that's how the process works. And part of the arsenal of the enemy is to deceive you into thinking, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be the exception to the rule, when that's just not the case. We've got to be on guard. Remember, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Okay? Number three, lastly, the response. How do we respond to temptation? All right, let's end with some good news. All right, number one, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. He says that very clearly in verse number 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Take hold of these truths. Don't fall for it. Don't be like a speeding car where, you know, the sign says bridge out. The next slide. Oh, I guess I don't have that. My bad. Oh, there it is. The bridge is out, but we just plow through. We just keep going on. Like, it applies to everybody but me. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And again, I love this. We've talked about this the last several weeks. Do not be deceived, my beloved who? Brothers, my beloved brothers. Again, he's making this familial connection with his audience. Like, hey, we're all in this together. I'm tempted. You're tempted. I struggle. You struggle. One of the hallmarks that we hope and we desire for this church is that we be a real place filled with real people, with real hurts and real baggage and real emotions and real hang-ups. We are who we are who we are. We check in our masks at the door, and we come in just as we are to be loved on, to grow, to learn, to serve, to worship, all the things that we've been doing this morning. So I love that about James. He continually comes back to this, my beloved brothers, my brothers. We're in this together. We're a family. Don't be deceived. And then number two, accept the good gifts. Accept the good gifts. He says that here. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. So what are the good gifts? I love this quote from Warren Wiersbe. He says, God's gifts are better than Satan's bargains. That's a good one. That's a bumper sticker right there, okay? God's gifts are better than Satan's bargains. The devil's going to do all he can to convince you it's good and you deserve it and you've earned it and it's okay and it's all right and nobody's going to find out and it's not going to hurt anybody. God's gifts are so much better than Satan's bargains. So what are some of the good gifts? Well, notice first off, there's the new birth. There's the new birth. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The new birth, salvation, the gift of eternal life to come and abundant life today. We want to make sure that every service that we have as a church, the name of Jesus is lifted up and exalted. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You know, it's not about like, okay, I'm leaving today and I'm gonna be tough and I'm gonna be strong and I'm gonna pull up my bootstraps and I'm gonna take on the devil. I'm gonna charge hell with a squirt gun and just go after it. You know, that's not how it works. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own power. We need Jesus in our life, and it's through Jesus that we can experience the victory that he has for us. But that's never gonna happen if you're not in a relationship with him. Do you know Jesus? Has there ever been a time you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and come into his family? Jesus Christ came into this world some 2,000 years ago. He was born in a manger. He lived a perfect life. He taught. He ministered. He healed. He did all sorts of things. And at the end of his life, he was crucified. He was nailed to a cross. He was buried. And then he rose again 3 days later to prove that he was exactly who he said he was. The Messiah, God's chosen one. He took upon himself all of the shame, all of the pain, all of the guilt, all of the penalty for our sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. All these things he took care of on the cross for us. And so by simply believing in him, saying, God, I believe that what Jesus did on the cross, he did for me. I accept him as my personal Savior. I accept him by faith. That's it. That's it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a part of God's family? Do you know Jesus? If you don't, then today, let me encourage you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It talks about being a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruits were always the prime. God's people always gave of the first fruit in their offering, in their sacrifice. The Bible says we are a kind of first fruit of all his creatures, of all his creations, his people that have called upon him in faith. Have you done that? That is one of the good gifts that we have. It's the new birth, the new birth. And then number two, there's the word of truth, the word of truth. He brought us forth by the word of truth. We can't overestimate this. And I know, you know, if you've been in church a long time, like I've been in church a long time, it's easy to hear a message like this. It's easy to hear a message and hear the pastor talk about, you know, you need more of the Bible in your life. You need to read the Word of God every day. You need to be meditating upon it. You need to be absorbing this truth into your life. It's not read two verses and call me in the morning. Okay? It's not like this silver bullet, you know, and like all the temptation's gonna go away, all the struggle's gonna go away. We live with the struggle. We live with the struggle together. But you will never have victory apart from this book. You just will never have it. And if you're here and you can find yourself continually struggle after struggle after struggle, my first question is always going to be to you, where are you with this book? Because God has given us a good gift in the word of truth to be able to combat the temptations and the deceptions and the lies that come our way. We go back to Matthew chapter number 4, and that's exactly what happened with Jesus. Matthew chapter number 4, you have the temptation of Jesus by the devil himself. So you have him before he begins his earthly ministry, before he begins his ministry publicly, he's tempted, he's tested. He goes out 40 days, fasting 40 days. And after the 40 days, the devil comes to him to tempt him, to try to get him. And he goes, if you notice the pattern, you can go there later, Matthew chapter number 4, he hits him first with the lust of the flesh. Hey, why don't you make these stones, make them bread? He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Okay? Some of us can't go 40 minutes without having a little something, you know? 40 days he goes, and he has the power to turn that stone into bread, but he is not going to succumb to the temptation of the devil and allow the device of the lust of the flesh to trip him up. And so what does Jesus do? Well, of course, he zaps him with a bolt of lightning or some really cool, miraculous, supernatural way. Does he do that? No. He uses these words. It is written. He uses the exact same means that's available to me to get victory over temptation. See, if Jesus had used some supernatural gift, some supernatural power, I can't identify with that. I don't have the ability to be like, you know, be gone from me. He used the same tool that you and I have in our possession to win the battle against temptation. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Hey, if you go up here and you throw yourself down, the angels will come and they will catch you. And they will keep you from hitting the bottom. Like, how cool would that have been? Like, hopefully someone would have had like iPhone cover footage of that. That'd go viral on YouTube. Check out Jesus going off the temple, getting caught by the angels. What a spectacle that would have been. Lust of the eyes. He doesn't go there. He says, it is written. I'm not going there. And then he takes him to a place. He sees all the nations of the world. He says, if you'll just bow down before me, I'll give you everything you see, the pride of life. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to go through all that suffering. You don't have to go through all that pain. Let me give you a shortcut to glory, a shortcut to the kingdom. And what does Jesus say? It is written. It is written. That is our part of our arsenal that we have at our disposal. So if you're struggling today, what is your marshmallow? Let me encourage you to keep the book as the primary means of combating that in your life. It is written. It is written. It is written. And see the difference that it makes. You've heard this quote. It's a famous one. Sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. The devil doesn't want you to have any part in this. The devil doesn't want this in your life at all. Because he knows that a believer that is tied into Scripture is a very dangerous person. Be in the book. Be in the book. Look, temptations are a natural part of our human experience. Every single one of us deals with temptations. But victory is possible through Christ. Temptation, they're a reality. They're a reality. We all face them. We all struggle with them. We all have a marshmallow, maybe several marshmallows, that we deal with. The regression, don't ever lose sight of that regression. It doesn't just stop here. It spirals down and causes great destruction to a life, to a marriage, to a family. And what's our response? Don't be deceived. Accept the good gifts that God has for you. Let me close with this verse. This is an awesome one. Check it out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Write this verse down somewhere in your notes. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. No temptation. There's not anything that you're going through. There's not anything that you face that other people have not faced. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. Amen? Amen? God is faithful? Amen. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I love the vision. I love the word picture there. When we're tempted, he provides a way out so that we can stand up under it. So just think about that. So the temptation is weighing down. We did a song this week in VBS, and the kids all had to get down, then slowly get up, and up, and up, and up, and up. And sometimes that temptation, again, whatever the marshmallow is, it weighs you down. The Bible says with God on our side, with Jesus Christ in our life, with the Bible in our life, we can stand up under it. It does not have to bring you down. It does not have to tear you down. It does not have to destroy you. It does not have to destroy your marriage, destroy your family. You can stand up under it. Why? Because God is with you. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for this time we've had this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it teaches us and instructs us. Lord, I pray for all of us as we struggle with temptation, that you would work in our lives, that you would help us, that you would give us victory through the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the good gifts that you've provided for us in the form of the new birth, in the form of the word of God, the word of truth. Lord, may it penetrate our hearts and cause us to experience victory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking for but me. Just me and God. Say, Pastor Greg, I'm here today. Go and hit the lights for us. Go and hit the lights for us, Jake. Say, Pastor Greg, I'm struggling. I got a big marshmallow. I got something in my life that I'm eating around the edges. I'm putting it back on the plate, hoping nobody notices. I'm just struggling today with something, and I need prayer. Would you pray for me in the closing prayer? I'm claiming the victory that's available to me through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his word. Would you lift up your hand so that I can see it really quick? Raise it up all over this room. Pastor Greg, please pray for me. I'm struggling. I'm in the battle. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to go down that spiral that's going to lead toward destruction. Pray that I would have victory. Father, thank you for these hands that were lifted this morning. Encourage them, watch over them, strengthen them, help them. May they see the integral role that your word plays in their victory. The devil says we don't have time. The devil says we have other things to do. The devil says it's not really going to make a difference. Lord, help us to block out that voice and to hear only yours. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Give us victory, I pray. And I pray for that victory for each person that lifted the hand today. And for all of us, Lord, for all of us. May our faith be a faith that works. May it demonstrate to our friends and family and neighbors and community that what we have is real because of the work that you're doing in our lives. It's working out. so that others can see it and be impacted by it. We ask for your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's the first Sunday of the month here at Adventure, so we're going to observe communion together. And I know we have several first-time visitors here today, so let me just say that if you're here this morning and know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you're welcome to participate with us today. The ushers are going to distribute the elements, take one of the pieces, one of the crackers and a cup of juice, and then we'll all participate together. But if you're here and you know the Lord, you're welcome to participate this morning. If you're here and you still have questions, you're unsure, like you don't really know what this means or understand it, and you're not comfortable, and for whatever reason, just feel free to let the tray pass. Nobody's going to look down upon you. Nobody's going to judge you in any way. If you have questions about spiritual things, spiritual life, this new birth that we talked about today, please don't hesitate to contact one of us, and we'll be happy to explain to you more what the Bible says about what it means to be a part of the family of God. But I'm going to invite the ushers to come. Once they're ready, go ahead and come to the front, you guys, and we'll wait, and we will begin distributing the elements this morning. And then once everyone has been served, we will all participate together. So go ahead and come. Go ahead and come on up, you guys. Come on up, Antonio. There we go. Take that. I'll just pray. I'll pray first, and then you guys can go. There you go. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we have to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Bless this time of communion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is power.